Penguin Random House Audio presents The Case Against the Supreme Court by Erwin Chemerinsky. Read for you by Philip Hernandez. Preface to the 2023 edition. The Supreme Court has changed dramatically since the publication of The Case Against the Supreme Court in 2014. Justices Antonin Scalia, Anthony Kennedy, and Ruth Bader Ginsburg are no longer on the bench and have been replaced by three justices appointed by President Donald Trump: Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett. The result is the most conservative court since the mid-1930s, and a court that already has dramatically changed the law, with more major changes likely in the years ahead. It is an activist court with a clear agenda to overrule long-standing precedents and move the law far to the right. How did we get here? Between 1960 and 2020, there were 32 years with Republican presidents and 28 years with Democratic presidents. Although this is almost even, during this time, Republican presidents picked 15 Supreme Court justices and Democratic presidents selected only 8. Put another way, President Trump picked 3 justices in his 4 years in office, while the prior 3 Democratic presidents served a combined 20 years in the White House, and during those 2 decades, selected only 4 justices. Some of this is the accident of history as to when vacancies occurred. Richard Nixon picked 4 justices in his first 2 years in office, while Jimmy Carter selected none in his 4 years in the White House. 2 seats moved from liberal to conservative on the spectrum as a result of Republicans blocking consideration of the nomination of Chief Judge Merrick Garland to replace Justice Scalia in 2016, and rushing through the confirmation of Justice Barrett to replace Justice Ginsburg in 2020. The simple presence of Republican choices does not alone explain the shift. The Supreme Court has had a majority of justices appointed by Republican presidents since 1971, but some of those justices, picked early in this period, became among the most liberal during their time on the bench, including Harry Blackmun, John Paul Stevens, and David Souter. Until recently, there was also a swing justice, Lewis Powell, Sandra Day O'Connor, and Anthony Kennedy, who would vote with the liberals to create a majority in some controversial areas like abortion rights, the death penalty, and gay and lesbian rights. In fact, the Supreme Court decisions protecting abortion rights were bipartisan. Roe v. Wade in 1973 was a 7-2 decision, with the majority opinion written by Justice Blackmun, who had been appointed by Republican President Richard Nixon, and with 2 other Nixon appointees, Chief Justice Warren Burger and Justice Powell, in the majority. Even more dramatic, when the Supreme Court reaffirmed Roe v. Wade in Planned Parenthood v. Casey in 1992, all 5 justices in the majority had been appointed by Republican presidents. The dissent included the only Democratic appointee then on the court, Byron White, along with other Republican appointees William Rehnquist, Antonin Scalia, and Clarence Thomas. But now it is a court with 5 justices who are as conservative as any who have served: Clarence Thomas, Samuel Alito, Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett. John Roberts is usually with them as a 6th vote. In the October 2021 Supreme Court term, which ended on June 30, 2022, the Supreme Court decided 58 cases after briefing and oral argument, and 19, or over a third, were 6-3 decisions. No longer is there a swing justice. Gone are the days when a Republican-appointed justice might turn out to be liberal, or even moderate, on key issues. Nor is this likely to be for just the short term. In 2022, the oldest justice, Clarence Thomas, is 74. Justice Alito is 72. Chief Justice Roberts is 67. And Justices Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Barrett are all in their 50s. I have long thought that the best predictor of a long life is being confirmed for a seat on the Supreme Court. Justice Stevens did not retire until he was 90, and Justice Ginsburg remained on the bench until her death at age 87. It is easy to imagine 5 or even all 6 of these justices being on the bench for another decade or 2. And there is the prospect that the next time there is a Republican president and a Republican Senate, the older of these justices might retire to keep the seat in younger, conservative hands. In the case against the Supreme Court, I argued that the Supreme Court often has failed to enforce the Constitution and fulfill its mission, frequently, at the most important times in American history. When I consider the court in 2022, I am struck by how many of the court's recent decisions have not just failed to interpret the Constitution and to uphold its values, but have moved constitutional law far to the right. It is a conservative court with a very conservative agenda and intent on implementing it quickly. I now observe the court actively engaged in eliminating basic rights, centering on the privacy-based right to an abortion, obliterating the wall that separates church and state, and aggressively protecting gun rights. The triad of abortion, religion, and weaponry are not by coincidence three of the crucial planks in the most conservative wings of the Republican agenda. Removing constitutional rights. In theory, the Supreme Court's duty is to protect the rights of its citizens, so it is extraordinary to witness the Supreme Court taking away constitutional rights. But that is exactly what occurred in Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization, when the Supreme Court explicitly overruled Roe v. Wade and held that the issue of abortion is left to the political process. Justice Alito wrote the opinion for the court, joined by Justices Thomas, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Barrett. Chief Justice John Roberts concurred in the judgment. He would have upheld the Mississippi law prohibiting abortions after the 15th week of pregnancy, but not have reached the question of whether to overrule Roe. Justices Breyer, Sotomayor, and Kagan wrote a vehement joint dissent. Respecting precedent, the rulings of the previous justices, is a fundamental aspect of American jurisprudence. It provides essential stability and predictability in the law and is supposed to lessen dramatic changes just because there are new justices. Indeed, at their confirmation hearings, each justice has pledged fidelity to stare decisis. In Dobbs, Justice Alito, writing for the majority, said that a constitutional right exists only if it is in the text of the Constitution or was part of its original meaning, or if it has been safeguarded by long, unbroken tradition. The court said that abortion meets none of these requirements. It obviously is not mentioned in the text and was not part of the original understanding of any constitutional provision. The court said that Roe should be overruled because it was egregiously wrong. The court declared, "We therefore hold that the Constitution does not confer a right to abortion. Roe and Casey must be overruled, and the authority to regulate abortion must be returned to the people and their elected representatives." Precedent established firmly by a previous court now was utterly disregarded by a court with a different opinion and agenda. Justices Breyer, Sotomayor, and Kagan wrote an unusual joint dissenting opinion, and it was, as expected, passionate and angry. They stressed that some states already had banned abortion from the moment of conception, and that these laws would now go into effect. They explained that the effect will be that women in states where abortion is illegal will travel to places where abortion is allowed, if they have the resources to do so, but that poor women and teenagers again will face the cruel choice between an unwanted child and an unsafe back-alley abortion. Because of the correlation between race and poverty in the United States, it is especially women of color who will be in this situation. The dissent defended Roe and its recognition that laws prohibiting abortion infringe upon a woman's liberty. They argued that viability was a desirable compromise between competing positions and that the Mississippi law should have been declared unconstitutional. The dissent powerfully concluded, "In overruling Roe and Casey, this court betrays its guiding principles. With sorrow for this court, but more for the many millions of American women who have today lost a fundamental constitutional protection, we dissent." Dobbs means that the issue of abortion is left to the political process, for the states and perhaps Congress. States will be able to prohibit abortion or allow abortion, whatever they choose. Over half of the states are likely to outlaw all or virtually all abortion.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?